Hello.
Helps if I turn my microphone on here as I get things going. It's me that's screwing up this week.
Testing. Can you hear me? Hello.
I can. Hello. What's going on here? It is the PewterCast. It is your top spot for all things about your defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It is Ren. It is Carney. It is great to have you here. Shout out to Neil, who's already in the comments on YouTube and on Twitter.com/ThePewterCast and ThePewterCast.com. Before we get into the big portion of today's show, because, you know, Ren and I haven't been here. We haven't had a chance to talk about the first preseason game for the Bucs this year. We have not had an opportunity to talk about what's coming up here on Saturday in preseason game number two against the Tennessee Titans. And there's plenty of other stuff that's going on. Shout out to Randall as well, also in our comments. I want to give you a little bit of a preview of what's to come with the PewterCast, because the regular season is coming, Ren.
We've made plans.
We have. We've sat here, we've talked about plans, and the plan is you have seen us for one day every week here on the PewterCast since like February. We've been doing this, however long we started this. It was back, back when Brent decided he was going to say adios muchachos. He ghosted you.
No warning.
Yep. And then all of a sudden I showed up. Hello. Surprise.
Surprise.
And here's the big news. We're going back to 3 days a week.
Yes.
In the regular season, starting week one, we are heading back. The PewterCast, three times every single week, talking Tampa Bay Buccaneers football. The plan is, as of right now, that the first of the big shows would end up being September the 8th. That is week one of the regular season. Mm-hmm. That is a Wednesday. And we are going to do Wednesday, Friday, and Sundays after the game, getting your reaction to every single Bucs game. And of course, that Sunday
still the place to be after your Buccaneers coverage.
And of course, the Sunday games. Yeah, those Sunday games, though, of course, you know, Sunday night games, Monday night games. So that Sunday game, that Sunday show is scheduled to work around after the Bucs game.
Yeah. So obviously week one, the Thursday night game will be live right after it hits triple zeros, as we always are. I did some a little recon after the who the hell we play? Bengals. And I looked around to see who was doing shows and whatnot. And, we're still, sort of the biggest and the best. Pew Report, does a post game show too, but it takes them like 40 minutes to an hour because they got to finish up their stories. They all got to go to the pressers. So our show will be wrapping up before they come on.
Yeah.
And, so,
and we'll be able to get you everything that Coach Arians and everybody has said.
Yeah, because this is the place to be. This is always and always has been. And so I'm looking excited. I'm excited to get back to those, you know, those immediate post game shows, bringing you guys in boots on the ground experts from the Bucs and other teams. And then Friday, we're just going to come on and it's just going to be an empty chair that we record for an hour and then put it up as a podcast.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing Friday.
How it works.
Obviously that's not true. So that's the plans going forward. But how you been, man? The Rays are on a hot streak, man.
I know. They've done themselves some good. Five games up in the American League East.
Boston now. Finally collapsed.
Boston is collapsing. New York is now starting to ascend. The Blue Jays are trying to make a run of things. But they're starting to fall off as well. But best record in the American League, 75 wins. They're 28 games over 500. and they're going to start getting some healthy, some guys back healthy again.
I know.
Chris Archer is going to be back this weekend. They're going to get some bullpen arms here in the next, you know, 10 days or so.
It's good. Anything else to report since the last time I saw you? How's it going?
For me, I'm good. I've got
the cats.
Cats are good. I'm doing a little work with a friend of mine. Doing some college football off air. Not doing anything on air when it comes to college football, but helping out my friend, former Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Gino Toretta, of the Miami Hurricanes. So that's going to be my Saturdays for a while.
Right. So. Yeah. Our schedules are both getting like completely packed.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. Like, I don't know anybody that works harder than me.
I don't either. You're crazy.
I'm kidding.
No, you're joking, but I know how hard you work and what you have to put in to try and keep the Dax mega mansion going. And
the one story, one bathroom,
right?
with aftermarket a bidet showed up the other day here, by the way. Yes, so I'll be clamping a bidet on the toilet, an aftermarket attachment bidet.
I do have a bidet story before we get into what we need to get to here before we take care of some housekeeping. Speaking of housekeeping, bidet at Amalie Arena in some of the offices, the back offices. So this is away from where the public is. So like one of the can't even see the rink. This is on the other side of the. This is looking out on Channelside Drive. The offices that look out on Channelside. There's a bunch of offices, a bunch of cubicles, and there's a couple of bathrooms. In one of the bathrooms, there is a heated toilet seat with a bidet on it, and I was like, "What
heated toilet seat?"
It was like I just remember being in there for doing USF basketball last winter, and you know it's kind of chilly, and you get down there. I was like, "Ooh,
this is awesome!
Like, this is nice." I'm like, I don't know if I want to go back to my cave where I'm producing USF basketball from.
I can just watch it from my phone right here, no problem.
Yeah, I mean, I just moved up, push the buttons myself here. I can do that.
Yeah, but one day I'm going to take a deep dive into Japanese toilets because you know they're sort of famously known for being. Ridiculously what would you say amenities, but so the toilets
they can be
amenitized,
ornate. Yeah,
ornate, or just use a real word, ornate.
Yeah, they're ornate. I remember talking to people that went to Pyeongchang for the Winter Olympics. What was that, in 2018? And the people that worked for NBC for the Olympics in 2018, and they were talking about heated toilet seats in Pyeongchang up in the mountains where it's really cold, and they're like,
speaking of bathroom duties.
Yes, and speaking of bathroom duties,
and then we'll talk Bucks, I promise.
Yes, those bidets and those heated toilet seats are always better when you're groomed in the nether regions, and that's why Manscaped is here. Manscaped, of course, is part of PewterCast as well. I've said plenty of stories about Manscaped, and I just think that it is a fantastic product that every man should have in their bathroom. And you can get it from the PewterCast at a discount if you go to manscaped.com and use the promo code fansided20. You get 20% off and free shipping on the new lawnmower version 4.0 with the new ceramic blade and the longer battery, and the waterproof cover. The chassis is waterproof now, and it lasts longer. There's an LED light on it.
And your IQ points will go up, and food will taste better.
And you'll certainly be more aerodynamic.
And you can become a race car driver. All these things are 100% guaranteed.
Absolutely guaranteed. Not guaranteed. Manscaped.com. Use the promo code FANSIDED20. Get 20% off your order and free shipping on Manscaped. So, Ren, we haven't had an opportunity to talk about what happened in the Bengals preseason game, and we'll get to what's going on this week here.
Yeah.
As we get ready for preseason game number two, but I do want to go back to preseason game number one. For me, the biggest takeaway, and I'm sure the biggest takeaway for you, is the fact that they got through game number one against the Bengals without any sort of issues when it came to injuries.
That's always the biggest takeaway every single preseason game ever. Yeah. You know.
Absolutely. No injuries. Tom Brady and the starters played one series against the Bengals. And to me, I don't think that Tom Brady needs to play another down of preseason football in his career. He can stop
jumping right into this, huh?
Yeah, I think we can. I think that it doesn't matter if he's only playing this year, if he plays next year, it doesn't matter if he's playing until he's 55.
Okay.
You know, he can get AARP benefits playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't think that Tom Brady needs to play another down of preseason football in his life and just go right. He can go to practice. It's fine for him to practice. It's fine for him to do whatever he needs to do in camp. It's great for Tom to be on the sideline for games. But I don't, if he never puts his helmet on to go play another down of preseason football, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Can he play controlled scrimmages like this week versus the Titans?
Yes, I would think that that's fine. You know, control. I think controlled scrimmages are.
But they don't hit the quarterback.
Yes, and that I think is the most important thing. You want because the final hit that he took against the Bengals was kind of like, okay, I don't need to see Tom Brady doing that in the preseason.
Did he get up? Okay, he's done.
Yeah.
Someone take his cleats off his feet.
Yeah. Hide his helmet. Hide his helmet. He does not need to be out on the field for a preseason game, because God forbid that something happens to the GOAT in a preseason game.
But what if he wants to play? What if he wants, when he gives you an argument, like, I need the timing with my receivers. I need the live bullets.
You're going to get that timing, and you can get as close to live bullets as possible in these controlled scrimmages. I'm not letting you on the field. If I'm BA, nope, done.
If you don't let me on the field, I quit.
Would he really do that?
We're taking the argument to the absurdium.
We are taking that is the absurd extreme, especially, and this allows us to kind of transition from last week to this week. Tom Brady's not playing this week.
No one's playing this week, though.
And if nobody's playing this week, nobody plays in the final preseason game either.
They're all playing in the final preseason game. Bruce Arians said that's the big one he's given him. So no snaps for Tom Brady, which I completely understand. If there's one player in the league who doesn't need the practice, it's Tom Brady. But he's sort of a creature of habit, obviously, and he wants to play and he wants those live reps. Now, if you were the coach, obviously you'd overrule him. If I was a coach, I would not let him play nearly as much as he'd want to. But I do think, sort of like getting out there against the live bullets, other competition besides your own guy, I think that all that stuff, I think that matters. And obviously it matters to him. So I think it's just one of those things where you take the risk, but you try to minimize it. And of course, if he comes out, clean and nothing happens to him, by week one, everyone's sort of forgotten about the argument altogether. Definitely by week two, week three. Like, no one cares anymore. If he gets hurt, well, now you're probably in fear for your job. Because there'll be torches and pitchforks out front of Advent Health Training Center, the next day. And people will be calling for your job. And you're going to get a call from the owner. Like, why did you play Tom Brady in, the beginning of the third quarter coming out of halftime? And, your excuse would be, well, I wanted, he's going to come out of halftime and play 17 weeks. So I just wanted,
And the of course the other side of that argument is that he's come out of halftime and he's played without problems for 22 seasons. He's done it plenty. He doesn't need the reps of what it feels like to go and sit down for 13 minutes and come back. So I am curious about that. And Randall says in the comments that he feels that, you know, the offense needs the reps to work out kinks. Well,
I'm with Randall. Trying to minimize it.
But Tom's not playing this week.
No one's playing this week. But he's playing week three. He's playing a lot in week three. The Stars are. I know you're against it.
No, it's not that I'm against it. It's just very weird only having three preseason games. And we are creatures of habit, much like they are, because I'm used to week one starters play, you know, a series or two, maybe up to a series or two. Second game. Well, they'll play two series if each team goes three and out. So you'll get like half the first quarter. The second game you play a quarter, third game you play until halftime, or you come out from
the first series,
and then the fourth game you don't play.
Right.
So it's all jacked up to me.
It'll be interesting to see. And like, none of this stuff really matters in the end. Of course, they get injured. But like, Sean McVay doesn't play any of his starters and hasn't pretty much since he's been the head coach of the Rams. I think his first year he did. But now he kind of knows what he has. So like, none of his starters play. And there's a couple other teams out there where their starters just don't play.
Yeah, Sean McVay's not playing Matthew Stafford because he's got to be worried about how many bullets Stafford has and all the bullets he's going to have to take in the regular season because he's been so beat up over the course of his career.
Well, I think the Rams are going to have a big year, and I think Stafford's going to surprise some people and show them that, you know, he's always been a top 10 quarterback. He might creep up into the top five, to be honest, but that's neither here nor there. So, yeah, I get it. But, you know, I don't know. You know, if you don't want to take a preseason snap ever again, okay. I'd like to see a few, you know. But if he gets injured, then I look like the dummy and you look like the genius. If he doesn't get injured, no one really cares and we're on to the Cowboys. So, but anything else before we move on to sort of the main part of the show? Anything else you gleaned? You were happy to see, not happy to see about the Cincinnati game, because it's been talked about to death. But
yeah, I think, you know, for me, of course, Jaden Darlin, it was nice to see him get a lot of reps, especially early on. The first couple of quarters, you know, seeing mm-hmm. him getting involved with whether it was
they tried to get the ball to him quickly out in space, mm-hmm. which was nice. He made one guy miss and then didn't get a huge game, but it was good to see him make that first guy miss, because that's the most important thing about that. But you can tell they have packages for him. Yeah. Especially like when teams like double-A blitz, Brady's just going to stand up and fire it to the outside. And it's either going to Antonio Brown or Jalen Darden or Scotty Miller or Chris Godwin. Mm-hmm. Or Mike Evans.
So many weapons.
Yeah. But that's what they're going to do. And then the receiver is going to have to make the first guy miss for the play to be a positive play. And having players like Antonio Brown and Jalen Darden really sort of up that percentage, which would just totally burn teams. If you want to, you know, pull up your middle off ball linebackers, then okay, we're going to go right down the field 7 yards at a time, completing 6 yard sideway passes.
Yeah. And then of course, as Randall pointed out about Tryon, I think we've all talked about Tryon and everything that went down in that first game, the roughing the quarterback penalty. Yeah. I mean, I even tweeted as soon as it happened, I'm like, if that's a penalty, we might as well just change the game to two hand touch then,
right?
Because I didn't think that was nearly the sort of hit that should be called for roughing the quarterback. But you know, if the officials are going to make that call, I think that, you know, as long as they make that call against every quarterback, you know, defenses will adjust. And I think that.
Well, Sue has, and I love what he's done. And Devin White's picked it up too. Sue just pushes him down. He gets, you know, he runs right at him and he puts his hands up at his chest. And when he gets to him, he just shoves him to the ground. And that way you don't fall on him, you don't tackle him, you're not hitting him anywhere. And because Sue's super smart, so he figured out the way to the rule not to get sort of penalized. And I've noticed Devin White's done that a couple times too, picked it up from Sue. But the current, which was obviously great last year, you know, sort of they did that, those half hour or 45 minute episodes during the off season, all the way up to the Super Bowl. They put out their first one this year. It's only closer to 10 minutes, which is fine. It's always done really well, but they have audio of the referee telling Joe Tryon they messed up that call. They're like, yeah, we might've got that one wrong. Like, yeah. That was a really good play. We might have got that one wrong. And, you know, and it's like, yeah, we all know that. Thank you.
Preseason for the refs, too.
Yeah. So Tryon is like,
that was awesome.
I don't sort of, being a Bucs fan for so long, this preseason camp, mini training camp hype that you hear about these guys, you hear it every year, you know, especially there's always one or two guys that are you know, seem to be hyped up. I remember when they did, like, they drafted all those corners where it was MJ Stewart, Sean Murphy Bunting, and Jamel Dean, and the Bucks in-house media crew were like, it was all about Sean Murphy Bunting, Sean Murphy Bunting, Sean Murphy Bunting, and he might have had the worst year besides MJ Stewart, but he might have had the worst year. He looked lost. Like, he got in a game, he looked lost, he wasn't good. And then, you know, slowly he's been building. So, you know, there was a decision made inside of, you know, Buccaneers complex that this is the guy that we think is going to have the best rookie year, so we're going to pump him up. It doesn't seem to sort of be that way with Joe Tryon. Like, I'm starting to believe what everyone's saying, because, you know, Shaq's come out and said it, JP come out, and it's not like, yeah, he's a good player, he works hard, he, you know, he listens, he wants to be great. It's like, oh Jesus, wow, he's way better than I thought. Oh, this guy's legit, like stuff like that. And then you saw, you know, you talked about that sack. If you do it in slow motion, he is past the line of scrimmage before most of the other Buccaneers get out of their stance.
It's great that you mentioned that, because when I saw the flag go off, I went, oh, he jumped the snap count. That's the first thing I thought, was try and jump the snap count. That's what this was. They're going to give it a 5-yard penalty because they're going to say offsides unabated to the quarterback or something like that.
Right.
I was like, when they said roughing the quarterback, I was like, what? But I was shocked. That first step, because I was like, how do you get past the right tackle that quickly? Like, he must have jumped the snap count. And when that wasn't the penalty, I was like, holy crap.
Wow. Yeah, his first two steps are pretty unreal. And I'm starting to agree with everyone that said, you know, if he would have played last year in college, that there's no way he would have lasted till 32. Now, there's some argument to that, because, like, first off, the Pac-12 started so late, like, oh, we're going to play, now we're not. And by the time they said they're starting to play, Joe Tryon had already packed up and moved to California to start training for the draft. So it was just like, you know, we're going to play 6 games. And he's like, thanks, but no thanks. So that worked out in the Bucs' favor. And his, you know, sort of like his, if you look at his box scores and match him up to his highlight reel in Washington, it didn't click till sort of like his last 6 games of the 2019 season, where that's where all his 8 sacks came from. Like, I think 7 of the 8 sacks came in the second half of the season. So it just kind of clicked for him there. People are praising that, how many tools in his toolbox, which is like a fancy way of saying rush moves he has. Yeah. And on this one, like, he just gave like a little, like a two-handed swipe chop to the tackle who, because he was so fast, was just sort of reaching for him and, you know, and knocked those out of the way. And he was quick enough to, he took a step towards the ball carrier who was, you know, it was a fake handoff.
Yeah.
So he took one step towards the ball carrier, recognized that he didn't get the ball, readjusted and sacked the quarterback.
With his head up.
Yeah, with his head up. So his eyes are working really well as far as what he sees, and then be able to do that at full speed. It's just, it's special athletically. Now, I'm not coming out here and say that, you know, 10 sacks, go try him. But as far as making a Super Bowl run, and if you're worried about what happens on the edge if JPP or Shaq Barrett miss some games or miss the season or, you know, the rest of the season whenever they get hurt, I think that the Bucks have filled that hole with Joe Tryon. I think he's now, of course, he's going to make a lot of mistakes, but I think that, like if JTP retires next year, it's not going to be nearly as big of a blow as it would have been last year.
No, you're right about that.
Because I think Tryon's that good.
Yeah, he's been fantastic.
I think Vaughn had a good game.
Yeah.
Finally, you know, all that stuff BA's been talking about, it showed up a little bit, and I'm excited to see what Vaughn does. Since he's not a starter, he'll probably get the bulk of the carries in the Tennessee game. So I'd like to see if he can continue that trend.
Yeah, we'll see a lot of Sneak. We'll see a lot of Gio Bernard in that sense, I would assume. So we'll see what happens. I love some of the comments that we're getting, about seriously, our defense looks crazy. JPP, Suvita, Shaq, Tryon, White, David, Davis, SMB, Winfield, Edwards, Whitehead, can't wait, go Bucks, hashtag Champa Bay, from Buck the World. It's going to be fun, and, you know, but these guys, you know, defending Super Bowl champs, but a lot of, you know, we found out this week that,
yes,
you know, they're going to get the best from everybody else. You know, all 17 team, all 17 games they play in the regular season, and the three that they're going to play here in the preseason, and even the controlled scrimmages.
Yeah,
because we saw the Titans come to the Advent Health Training Center and kind of put a demonstration on that. You know, you guys were the best last year, but that was last year.
Yeah, the Titans. Here, and this is kind of the title of the podcast. Like, I think that God bless the Tennessee Titans, because to be able to, they came in that first practice and basically punched the Bucks right in the mouth. Now, the Tennessee offense and the Bucks defense, you can say, was sort of 50-50. You know, each team had some good plays. Plus, on the Tennessee offense, like, their top two receivers are down. Brown's down, and Julio Jones, both didn't practice either session. So you got to kind of take, you know, if the ones versus the ones in the Bucks defense against Tennessee offense, Derrick Henry didn't practice either. So you got to kind of take with a grain of salt what happened there. But the first day of the Bucks offense, this vaunted offense is going to get 34 to 35 points a game. And, you know, games are going to be over by halftime, and Blaine Gabbert, what do we call him? 11-6.
Mr. 11-6.
Blaine Gabbert's going to be, like, you know, starting the third quarter four times this year because the games are going to be over. Like, they covered the Bucks wide receivers and contested every catch. And when they didn't, the Bucks wide receivers dropped a whole bunch. I think the official count by most outlets was 12, which is a avalanche of drops. And, you know, in a 2-hour practice, 12 drops, that's crazy. Like, you could throw me a football for two straight hours, I will not drop 12 balls, like three, because I'm really concentrating. If we're just goofing around, probably five, you know, because sometimes, you know, I just want to put the effort in. Like, maybe it's a bad throw and I got to sort of, like, get on my horse a little bit, and I'm just like, man, if it touches my hand, you got to count as a drop. Anyway, but with Tennessee being so physical and not taking crap from anybody, that's kind of their mantra, you know, sort of like their team philosophy, and they're built around. And there's a few teams in the NFL like that, like the Ravens, like we're going to come in, we're going to pound you. We're just going to be out. We're going to out physicality. We're going to be more physical than you. I think was a great, I'm very happy that it was a team like that with the Titans, because the second day, the Bucks got their butts chewed out by the coaching staff per Arians, and they came out and they wiped the floor with the Titans. But all this hype that had been going on and all this talk, we haven't done anything yet. It's a new season. I know it's going to be different. You guys, you know, BA, you guys haven't done shit yet. Like, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And you played Cincinnati and everyone played like six plays. There was like turnovers galore. It was a really crappy game. So against a crappy team. So they couldn't really glean anything out of there. And then Tennessee comes into town and punches you right in the mouth. And it was like, oh, okay. So this is what the season's going to be like. This is how people are going to come after us. And I think it was great that that happened. I'm glad the Bucks didn't come out and dominate the first day. And I'm very happy that they quickly responded. You know, you got to sort of like when everyone's going to test themselves where they are, the Buccaneers are the bar. Okay. The Buccaneers bar was somewhere. Tennessee came in and cleared it. And the next day the Bucs raised the bar somewhere where Tennessee can't get over it. Yeah. And that was really good to see. But if this was like, let's say we're doing dual practice with the Jaguars, like we wouldn't learn anything and they wouldn't know. And, you know, and maybe even would take week two to week three, kind of like it took the Chicago game last year where it's like, oh man, like we really got to pull this crap together. Like this is too late.
Yeah. Like if it had been Jacksonville or Miami, it would have been something totally different.
Yeah.
Like the fact that it's Tennessee and a team that won, a division title last year and made the playoffs and, you know, with everybody that they have. And you mentioned Derek, you know, there was no Derrick Henry. There was no Julio Jones. There was no John Brown.
Yeah.
In those practices, and the fact that they still came out and held their own, you know, it was good for the coaching staff to look over at the 85 guys that are right now sitting there in the locker room and going, you ain't done nothing.
Yeah.
Everybody that goes on that other side of the sidelines is going to want a piece of you. You know, you may think that you're hot shit, but you haven't done anything, but they will still treat you like you did something and that they have an axe to grind against you. And they're coming at you. Yeah. As Herman Edwards once said, step your game up.
Is that your Herman Edwards?
Yeah, it's a bad.
Let's hear your you play to win the game.
Hello, you play to win the game.
That was much better.
You play to just play. Yeah,
I liked it. Hello,
hello,
hello.
Herm. But
I love
Herm. But I really like the fact that you know that they did come out and you know we can get into the you know the fisticuffs that happened with it all, you know, that's going to happen. That happens in every joint practice I've ever heard of. And going back 25, 30 years, guys have gotten into fights.
Gruden took his team, put him on the team bus and left because they had a brawl with the Rams. He's like, forget it. Grabbed them all, put him on the bus.
That's stupid.
Yeah. Here's my galaxy brain, and galaxy brain is sort of like a way of putting like conspiracy theory or maybe a way out of the box thought all wrapped into one galaxy brain theory. Mm-hmm. Now, of all the fights that happened, the only one that got the most run, I shouldn't say the only run, but definitely got the most run was the AB fight because AB is AB and given his past, and it was the first one, right?
Yeah.
I think AB getting in that fight is what sort of sparked the team and the domination of the practice. I think AB getting in that fight was sort of the catalyst, like I said, for the dominance that the Bucks put on the Titans. Because it was the first one, happened very early in practice, before sort of like there were any 7-on-7s or 11-on-11s. Yeah. It was wide receivers versus DBs.
And it happened in the part of the practice where media can be out there and take pictures.
Yeah.
That's the only reason it's out there is because that was the only one that took place when the media was out there.
Yeah. Now, Antonio Brown's not necessarily known as the sharpest tool in the shed.
Or a teddy bear.
Or a teddy bear. Or the brightest color in the box, mm-hmm. per se. But if he did that on purpose, I think it was a brilliant move. If he didn't, I think it really, really helped anyway. But all the people that jumped on Antonio Brown go, here's Antonio Brown. Like I 100%, you have absolutely the right to have that, have that thought or idea or think that's true. I get it. Oh, my PC battery is running low.
Oh no.
Yeah, I get it. You have every right to think that, and you may be right. I'm just saying that AB's actions really sort of sparked the team, and because the Tennessee Titans pushed us around physically the first day, and the second day the Bucks weren't having it, and Tennessee pushed back a little bit, and then the Bucks, like I said, like raised the bar again. I was like, okay.
I look at it this way, to put it kind of as the to put it into different terms, Antonio Brown getting into that fight and doing it in front of everybody. I don't think it's conspiratorial. I think you're absolutely right. I think he did that on purpose. It's kind of like when a manager gets kicked out of a game in baseball, and people say, "Oh, you know, managers need to get kicked out of the game so it fires up their players."
Right.
I guarantee you that Antonio Brown thought during, in the stretches or in warmups or maybe in the locker room, you know, he's probably thinking to himself, "I'm a veteran. I'm one of the people that people look to on this team, on this offense. I'm going to do something to show them that I really give a crap, that this means something to me. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to talk my trash. And if the first person that says boo to me, I'm going after. The first one."
I would love to believe that. I don't know enough about Antonio Brown to say that. Like, if that was somebody like Tom Brady or Mike Evans or Levante David, definitely somebody like Dominican Sue, Will Golston now, who's doing his, like, he stops the camera, you know, they have that camera out every practice and they come. Yeah. So he's always got some kind of like turn your ideas into thoughts, turn your thoughts into actions and actions into goals or something. He's always got something like that now. So he's more thoughtful than I ever knew. But I, like I said, I don't know enough about Antonio Brown, but I would love to believe you. I really would. I'm behind it.
Thomas Edwards asking, did anybody see the Devin White suplex? Heard it was a thing to behold. I didn't see it. I was not out there.
Yes, I'm not out there this year either.
Yeah, it took place at a point where the media was not allowed to shoot.
Yeah, so, we only get the first 30 minutes of practice to take video. And I think they're not even allowed to put it out till after practice this year. So yeah, anything that happens
after they come off the field, they can't do it while they're on the field. They have to go back into the media workroom in order to tweet about it. Like, we're not even the media is not even allowed to be on social media out there.
I don't think that's true. Are you sure?
I think you're not allowed. You're not allowed to live tweet while you're out there.
Okay. I don't think that's true. We'll figure it out. I'm not calling you a liar.
I'm pulling Nelson Cruz.
To answer your question, Randall, no, he cannot get suspended for starting a fight in practice. So he's good on that. Well, my computer's dying and I've got to go to work soon.
Well, then let's bounce out of here. This has been
Everyone. Apologies, but we got to everything we sort of wanted to get to be honest. Yeah.
And just remember, you're not going to see any starters.
This game will be terrible, except for the Sneak Vaughn, Kyle Trask. I want to see Tyler Johnson continue to ascend. Yeah. The Cody McIlroy, Tanner Hudson battle.
That's hot and heavy. That's been fun. I thought Hudson had a really good first game. McIlroy late. I thought
caught was the 2-point conversion.
Yeah,
that was a good catch.
It should be fun. We'll get to see the kid from Miami. Try and see if he can upstage suck up some more.
Right. I want to see Darden return some more kicks, but apparently it's going to be Scotty Miller. But who knows? And then again, of course, Sneak Vaughn, and then Khalil Davis, who has been having an outstanding camp. As someone who I was a put up or shut up type of year for this guy. He's a quick twitch tackle that penetrates, kind of a Gerald McCoy type, which is something that's not really valued in the Todd Bowles defense. So again, I know I've said this before, I don't really understand why he was drafted, But he seems to be coming on, and he played 19 special team snaps in game one. So they're definitely trying to find a spot for him on this roster, which is exciting.
That's a good sign. When they're finding spots for you, it means good things, especially early. All right, you got to get out of here. Rand, give us the Rand Addiction. Where can they find you?
Best place to find me is on Twitter at the PeterCast. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football, but if it takes too hot on Twitter, don't want to put it out there on Twitter, sir, feel free to slide in my DMs, and I'll talk Buccaneers football there as you will, too.
Put it out live, too, so we can all see it. It takes not nearly as hot as some of Ren's. You can find me at Steve Carney. Check out stp9.com for Ray's stuff, and, of course, PeterCast.com, PeterCast.live. Subscribe to the PeterCast wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and thanks to the Fansided Network for, again, being the folks behind the PeterCast. So until next time, Ren, you ready?
I'm ready.
Go Buck yourself.
Go Buck yourself. Go Rays.